As people of color in sales, we can do a lot to accelerate our careers. Oftentimes, we don't necessarily know how we can do that because of the different challenges that we have. On today's episode, my friend Patrick Carter is going to talk about what we can do to accelerate our career. He's going to give some advice and some strategies that help us look outside of ourselves and to look for ways we can help other people. You're going to love this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to Selling in Color. My name is Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, and I'm so excited to be here with you. And today I'm going to talk to my good friend Patrick Carter. We're going to be talking about this idea of how people of color, you, me, all of us who are out here, how we can accelerate our careers. But it's not just thinking about ourselves, it's thinking about other people and how we can go about making that happen. He's going to share some stories and some experiences in his past of how he went about it, then what he was able to do when he was able to learn from other people, and then how he became an influencer, so to speak, in helping others. It's a powerful episode. I know you'll get a lot of gems out of this. Let's go ahead and dive in. Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna. I appreciate this opportunity. Really.
Yeah, I mean, of course, man. I know you provide a lot of value out there in the community, and you bring a wealth of experience when it comes towards your sales knowledge. So I figured it made sense to bring you on the show, and especially someone of color as well that has been, you've been in the game for a minute and you've been able to break down some barriers and to make things happen and help a lot of people. So I want to be able to gain some insights from you and get a little bit more. But tell us a little bit about what you do right now. What kind of role you have?
Well, I actually have dual roles at this point. So my day job, if you will, my vocation, is I'm a sales leader at one of the Northeast's largest furniture retailers. Actually, the Northeast's largest furniture retailer, multi-billion-dollar company. And I have a $17 million team, and we're doing our thing. We're having a good time. We're coming out of this pandemic. And between the work that I do with my sales team, I have a team of leaders that work with me. And our group is really adjusting to this new post-pandemic situation, stock outages, customer expectations being high, and stock availability being low. And what we do is we just help. My role is to help these sales professionals thrive in this very difficult time. And it's about, for some of them, relearning how to sell, because what worked 5 or even 3 years ago just doesn't work now. So that's what I do as a vocation. Then I have a coaching practice for those sales professionals who want to go the next step, who are like, okay, well, I'm plateauing, or I know I'm not where I need to be. And I work with those people on a one-on-one basis. And that's where I am. So 30 years in the sales game, starting with the iconic Nobody Beats the Wiz up here in the Northeast, I'm sure. Listen, in the good old days, the go-go, how much is this? How much you got, right? You know, those great days back then, moved my way from selling, like I said, anything that would plug into a wall. I sold that. Transitioned to financial services, made my way up to Mother Merrill right up until there was no more Mother Merrill. Until financial crisis crumbled. And there's a truth in that.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, if you can sell, you will be employed.
100%.
End of discussion.
100%.
End of discussion. Then I made my way into furniture, and I've been here for the past 13 years and got some great learnings, and I'm really looking forward to sharing those.
You know, and I think, first off, congratulations on the career. And amen what you said there. If you can sell, you always have, you know, a job. You can always have something to create. This is why I want this podcast, man, because if you think about it, for many of us who are coming from, you know, underrepresented communities, you know, Black, Latino, Asian, or Pacific Islander, or whatnot, we find ourselves in situations at times where, you know, it's a little bit harder. Let's be honest and call it what it is. It's a little bit more challenging.
And challenging,
it's
right?
Yeah. And I think one of the aspect, though, that I've seen from my sales career, and I'm grateful for the mentors and allies that I've had throughout my career to help me to get where I'm at today, I've also come to have a deeper respect for sales, and I've recognized the opportunities for, one, a career in which you can get started and make really good money quickly. And two,
easily, yes.
It is a career that is always in demand. There's always going to be a need yes. for effective sellers. Now, there's some parts of the sales process that may be able to be adjusted or, you know, enhanced by technology. There is still a component in which sellers can be effective. We have folks who are listening to the show and people who are gathering and checking out a podcast, and they're trying to figure out how can they thrive? How can they succeed? And we want to hear from people like you, how you have done this. And one of the things you talked about in our pre-discussion was people of color can enhance and accelerate their sales careers. And I want to hear, how did you do that? Talk to me about that. What are some of the challenges you saw going into this game as in a sales career as someone of color? What stigma did you have to overcome? And then how you were able to accomplish what you are today and, you know, and enhance your career?
You know, if I look and thank you, love that question, you know, how we can grow, right? If I look back at my career, it was in three phases, right? So the sure. first phase was, like you said, you can get into this career early, no experience. I was fresh. I was in college, I wasn't even out of college. And the amount of money that could be made by standing in a particular spot and saying, we got this for sale, would you like it, right? So like at its core level, there's yeah. so much money to be made with no training, well, very little training and very little skill set. So at that part of my career, it was the lone wolf, right? Yeah. I didn't care about anybody else. I wanted to buy a car. I wanted to move out of my mother's house. I went to spend time with my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, right? So I was focused on me. So that constituted the first phase. Then as I matured, I got into the financial services, and I got to tell you, I was introduced to a gentleman who's still in my world, a gentleman named Walter Booker. Mm-hmm. This guy was the first Black man that I saw in a senior leadership position in a sales organization. So I'm not talking about, you know, the department manager. I'm not talking about a store manager. I'm talking about a VP level individual. So there was no question of his business and his business savvy, his business knowledge. That was no question. But what my takeaway was that he understood through his actions, his words, his attitudes, he knew that those of us who were in the trenches with the shovels saw him, and he made it his business to see us and tell us, listen, I see what you're doing. Keep it up. You know, just giving us that encouragement from on high. That's one of the keys. That's what I saw in my career, that when there was someone on high, someone at a higher level, might have been just one level up, and we call those people mentors, or it could be someone in that room, and we call those folks sponsors, right? That somebody was seeing and recognizing the actions and activities and encouraging it, clearing the paths, or directing me to the right space to be in at the right time. So for me, my growth in my career came from my shift from going from lone wolf to, as Walter Booker would say, you have to give to get, right? So now I'm looking to do for others. So I wasn't just about how much is in your pocket. It's how, tell me more about. So I moved into more consultative selling. And then more importantly, as I saw from his example, I started looking to my peers and giving them the support that they would need to do a little better in the moment, right? Because that's what you need those peers to give you that support while you're in the trenches, to give you someone to commiserate with and to say, right, and to say, hey, listen, you're done, all right? Enough with the crying. Let's get back in the game, right? Pick up yeah. the phone. Let's start dialing. Or put your coat on. We got to go out and door knock. Or whatever it is that the grunt work is, you need your peers to help you go through that grunt work together and celebrate together, commiserate together, and do all those things. So that's how my career has advanced, through those three groups of people that have been with me and that I've been for them, my peers, mentors, and sponsors.
So would you say that was a phase one? Phase one was was recognizing, was lone wolf status.
Yes. And then, phase two is when I got to that, you know, give to get, right?
Give to get.
And that's where, you know, I started looking forward and looking to the others and saying, listen, what can I do? And in doing that giving, opportunities came back to me. And now I'm in that phase three where I'm in position. I'm in those positions to be that mentor and now to be that sponsor for folks. And of course, to be my and to be peers for those who are at my level to say, listen, let's go. Let's do these things.
So you're almost you're like that Walter now.
Listen, man, that's a lot of weight there, you know, and yes, no, I would hope at some point. And that's why I think in this podcast and the social media and all and my position in the company gives me that opportunity to be that Walter for somebody who I'm not, who I don't know, but has heard of that guy, Pat Carter, and has, you know, has sent me a LinkedIn connection and, you know, and I gave him a thumbs up and they send me a message. Wow. It's really, you know, it's really cool that, you know, and I'm like, dude, it's just me. Right. But, but I recognize that there is someone who was in my position back in 2002, who's seeing me as the way I saw, well, that was poor, but saw as the, seeing me the way that I saw Walter Booker. Yeah.
I think this is, it's so good to be breaking down into these three phases to be able to help enhance our careers, help grow our careers as people of color and people who are trying to, you know, make it out there. And I think sometimes the lone wolf, and I'm just going to take these apart just for a second here.
Sure.
I think sometimes the lone wolf idea is perpetuates all the way in sales. And I think sometimes the lone wolf also applies in not only in sales in that sense, like a general sales knowledge, no matter who you are, some, you know, a lot of people typically want to, you know, it's an individual sport in so many sense. It's not like if I make enough, if I score 10 points and you score 10 points, then we win. The team obviously wants to perform to hit a certain number, but individually, if I don't hit my quota, that you could still stay on the team.
Right.
You might win and I might lose. It's almost like track and field in that sense.
Right. And that, on that level, yeah.
But there's still the idea, though, of Team USA, if I wanted to bring the Olympics in. There's this component, though, of working together collectively so that we can have, you know, a lot. And I think that's where a lot of people of color, we felt, you know, maybe marginalized, where we weren't able to really connect with our team members being like the only, and I'm just going to be straight up. Sometimes we were the token on a sales team. Like, oh man, we need
a diversity hire, right?
And diversity,
as crass as that sounds, those things happen. And we'd be disingenuous to think that they don't. But I will say this. As one of the maxims that my parents gave me, you need people to open the door, but an open door does not an opportunity make. Right?
Come on.
So because the door is open, you need to A, walk through that bad boy, and then you got to perform.
Yeah.
Because, and let's talk about that person who's the sponsor.
Yeah.
If they spend their political, in some cases, capital, to open that door for you and you get in and you, I clean that up. You see the mental edit right there? And,
how can I say this?
You know, how can I do this family friendly? And you get in there and you make a mess of things. How's that?
Yeah.
You've not just done yourself a disservice. You've done a disservice to the person who sponsored you, right?
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, can close off opportunities for the cats that were second, third, and fourth in line.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, to your point, though, we need to be aware of opportunities and we need to get in and do our level best. And while we're in, we have got to kick the window open. We've got to dig out a little space underneath, open the door as much as you can to get as many people into the room that you are in. Every opportunity that you can.
Yeah.
That's what I think was missing while I was in my phase one. Because when I was at the Wiz, there was nobody of color. There just wasn't. And that was just a matter of the times, right?
Yeah.
So it was sales in a lot of cases is a revolving door. So, you know, folks would come in, make their little bit of money and get out. but there was no opportunity to advance because doors were not being open.
Yeah.
Once I got to the financial services world, there was just so much growth that they couldn't not make opportunities could not be closed off just because there were just so much growth happening. And in that space, I would say that there were people who were actively pulling people of color into the community and into the sales community. Even to this day, I see on social media and everything, people who I've worked with back in that pre-financial meltdown period in the 5 years leading up to that. And they actually stayed in financial services and have carved out great spaces for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm super proud of them. And I know for a fact that they are opening doors in each of their spaces. I'm just saying, and now those opportunities exist even more so than they did.
Yeah.
So
this is great because, yeah, if you're the lone wolf and you're someone of color, you're even like a lone wolf time, you know, down to a times two. So it's like even less. But getting to this idea, though, that how can we get past the lone wolf mentality, recognizing that, yes, I do need help in sales, and two, I do need the right folks. So branching out, I got this for you. Saw people that were performing in other, you saw Walter, so to speak, and that helps you to get out of your lone wolf mentality. But here's what I'm going to ask. How can someone, maybe they're in an industry where they don't have a lot of people who are in leadership that looks like them, how can they find the Walters in other industries to be able to help them? Does that make sense?
All right. So one thing they can do is follow the Selling in Color podcast. No, and that's truth, and that's real. So listen, social media has given us the opportunity to get outside of our silos. It absolutely has. I see people of colors in real estate. I see people of color in construction. I see people of color in all different aspects. And it is incumbent upon me as the individual to reach out to them and say, listen, I see what you're doing. That's some amazing things. Maybe, you know, and you can strike up what I call a social media relationship where you never actually connect with that person beyond messaging and the like. Or you can do things like you and I have done where we actually got on the phone and actually spoke with each other. I've done that with several people in social media. This podcast specifically, even though it is in sales, you had a guest, a young lady in Atlanta a few weeks ago, and she's saying just what you're talking about, that she is one of one or two people in a metro urban area, yet she has peers of color, of gender in her world by extending beyond her walls. So to answer to your question, it's that lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink analogy.
Yeah.
The water is out here. The water is available. At some point, you as that lone wolf need to recognize that there are others who are performing at a higher level than you at the same or possibly less energy expense. How are they doing it? And once you start asking those deeper questions, I sound like I'm going to coaching at this point, but once you start asking those deeper questions, because the trick isn't to be the best, it's to be your best, right? So that's one of my key mantras. Who cares if you are if you're the big fish in that tiny pond, if you are capable of being the whale?
Yeah.
So you need to look in other ponds to see how others are doing it and possibly doing it better than you, or at least let's just say at a higher level than you. And that's how you get beyond that lone wolf, by getting into a pack, using the analogy.
Love it, man. And the final thing is just be a mentor is now once you find it. And I think we can do that at any level.
Yes.
Like right now, if anyone haven't checked out the group Sales for the Culture, we've talked a lot about Sales for the Culture, but it's an awesome group of Black sales professionals. But one of the things too is you're going to find that you have people who maybe like your nieces or nephews or cousins or neighbors or kids in the community that don't know anything about sales. You could be, if you're a BDR at a company or if you're an entry-level seller, you can still provide so much wisdom and advice to someone coming up just by your sheer experience so far. So it's advantageous that you look for opportunity to start mentoring right now. Like you said, you're not at Walter status yet, but it doesn't stop you from mentoring other people.
It absolutely doesn't. Absolutely. And mentoring is a relative term, right? So if,
sure.
And I keep going back to those three levels, right? So you got peers who are right in the mix with you. The mentors, so let's talk about that metaphor.
Sure.
You can't see the forest for the trees, right? So if you are trekking through the forest and all you see are all these trees, you got a bunch of people who are with you and they are chopping trees down, helping you. Your mentors are the ones who are further ahead on the path and have figured out that if they climb the tree, they can see the path better. And they can then tell you, hey, you're going left. Come to the right. And when you get to that red tree, look left. And that's where the path will be. And that's what a mentor can do. And you don't need to be 10 years advanced to do that. You can literally be 10 weeks advanced to say, hey, listen, what you're doing right now, yeah, you can keep doing that, but a more effective way might be to do this. Or, hey, listen, you know, you might want to come in a little earlier and on talking about a retail sales floor, you be the first one here. That'll give you on the ups list two extra ups that everybody else won't get. That's in a given week. That's 8% more opportunities, and that's on you to turn, right? So opportunities that they see. Mentoring is an active state, and you can do it at any point in your career.
Love it. If there's one major piece of advice you want folks to take away from this episode, how to get enhanced their careers of people of color, what's that one major piece of advice, Patrick?
I'm going to share with you Killer Joe, my father. And there's no way to clean this up, and we'll figure it out. If you're walking down the street and you see an ass kicking coming, you can cross the street. So here's the thing. If you don't have enough time in your career to make all the mistakes that you need to. So learn from the mistakes of others, right? So by you listening to your mentors, following their instructors, and zigging when others are zagging or, you know, taking a different tack, you don't have to suffer all the pitfalls that the people in front of you suffered on your behalf.
Yeah.
So if you want to accelerate your career, stop walking into potholes that others have already identified, walk around them, and advance your career incrementally at every step.
Love it, man. If folks want to get in touch with you, Patrick, what's the best way for them to go about doing so?
Well, of course, on LinkedIn, you can always just search for Patrick G. Carter, and I'm right there. You can also find me on Twitter at Elite Sales Institute. And as always, it'll be my pleasure to share great information and answer any questions that you may have.
Patrick, thank you so much, man, for taking the time to come on the show and continue to thrive and to set an example and be there for us as we're all trying to improve as sellers of color in this amazing field that we're in. Thank you.
Donald, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That was Patrick Carter. This is Selling in Color. I'm so grateful that you were able to listen to him and connect with him. And I want you to go on LinkedIn and find him. Check out some of the things that he's sharing, man. He's active on there and he's producing a lot of content. Patrick does a lot when it comes towards retail sales and helping young professionals to be able to recognize that there's a powerful career out there in Sales Pro. And you could be able to be that asset as well and help other people who may not necessarily know about sales and how there's an opportunity for great growth as an individual as well as financial. We can do a lot in this community, man. There's so much opportunity, so much out there. I mean, 20% of professional sellers being people of color, we know that's not cool. We could change that. And I love what Patrick shared here today because it's about us getting out there and making our own pie instead of begging for it. Obviously, we need some allies. We need some guidance. In the same vein, though, we can make it happen. We can take action. And I'm super grateful for that. I'm grateful for groups like Sales for the Culture and some of the amazing things that they're doing as well. And I highly recommend you check it out. If you're someone of color, you're trying to look into getting into tech sales, it's a great community for you to take advantage of. Listen, I'm sharing this stuff because I want to help you. We need to make a difference. I want you to be successful as well. I want you to be able to get those deals. I want the sales community to know that people of color, Black folks, Hispanics, people from Asian descent, people like you and me can do a lot and can make amazing things happen. And it's just about us making that wave and just going out there and letting it be known. Thank you. Thank you. The voices that we have, the things that we're doing, it may not be huge, but we're doing our part. And this is going to make a deep impact. Tell someone around you, let them know about sales and how this could be a powerful career for them. Thank you again. As always, I want you to go out every single day, raise your level of thinking. We won't beg for a piece of the pie. We're going to go out and make our own pie. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon O'Bale. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.